been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm.
Overcast. Oh, you know. Wow. This is going to be a season-long thing with this Overcast.
Oh, man. Got ya.
You doing over there? Say with me. Overcast.
Overcast.
That was Google Podcast. That's fine.
Spotify.
Facebook and YouTube.
That's right. We got them all in there.
And Discord.
That's right. Hey, have
Come
you
on.
Checked us out yet on Discord?
Come on, man. Can't forget about him.
Go to discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Join our server over there. We had a lot of fun this past Sunday. We had a great game day chat as the game was going on over on our Discord. Josh was there in person in New Jersey watching the game, and he was sharing pictures and everything else from the game over on Discord. So make sure you go over, check us out on Discord, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. So let's get down to business here. The Ravens came back with a W from New York, New Jersey. They beat up the Jets. Josh was there too, man. So what was the experience like? Tell me what the Jimmy's tailgate was like. Tell me what the in-game experience was like. Very different than when you and I went, when we came back with a loss. Came back with a big dub this time around.
Yeah, very different. But we have some stories here.
Oh,
we have a
cool.
We have a story. Crazy story. Okay, so tailgate for me was, of course, awesome.
I saw pictures of you at the tailgate. Looked like you were having a
blast. Apparently Jimmy's got us. Yeah, the photographer. It was great. Jimmy Seafood, always great putting on. Had nothing bad things to say. And when I get into the experience, it was a bad experience for some. But Jimmy's, as what they do, they make up for it. So, all right. So I double dipped. We went to dinner on Jimmy's for my buddy's birthday Saturday night. So I went to Jimmy's for dinner. Nice. Also did the tailgate Sunday morning. Best way I can explain this, and this is all before tailgating, all before the game, right? I wanted to drive along with my buddy Chris because we like to be in control. Not to discount the buses, but as you know, like we talked about, like, you know, me and him are just one the same. You know, Jimmy's does a great thing with the buses, and the buses are convenient. But for me being sober and waiting on drunk people and all that, I'm kind of like, you know what? It's close enough. I'm going to drive myself. It's not that bad. The tolls are fine. I'm driving a passenger. We can split them. We'll be fine. So a couple of my other friends, they did the bus. They actually did the minibus, the one that was thrown together last minute. We leave. I picked him up at 6 o'clock on the dot. Jimmy's leaves their parking lot at 6 o'clock on the dot. Mind you, I'm in Perry Hall, Maryland, picking my buddy up. We get on the highway. We decide to call our buddy and say, hey, how far are you ahead of us? He's in Aberdeen and we're around the White Marsh Falston area, that exit on 95. So about three exits ahead to put it perspective on that. So we want to get there at the same time with everybody and tailgate, right?
Right.
Halfway up the Jersey Turnpike. Luckily, we took the Jersey Turnpike in no other direction. I didn't know Jimmy's was going to take the same way or their bus. So we get a message. Mind you, our friends are jokesters. Like pool pranks, never believe what they say because it's just how we are. We cut up all the time. So my buddy Dave decides to text my buddy Chris, who I'm driving. He says, oh, no, we're on the side of the turnpike. We blew a tire. And immediately, like, Chris is flipping out. I said, wait, wait, wait. And, of course, I didn't believe him. I was like, he's lying. And I said, first off, he would have called you. I say, if anybody blew a tire and it was that, like, a crazy situation, you would have gotten a phone call and be like, oh, like, what's up? Like, he texting you. He's lying.
Right.
So he sends a picture of, like, outside the window, like, side of the road with grass. And I'm like, and, of course, Chris again, look, there's a picture. And I said, look. He could have taken it outside the window where they were riding, but it's right there close to the road. I'm like, that could have been anywhere. That could have been stopped this morning on a red light. I don't know. I said, he's lying. Didn't believe him. So still driving along Jersey Turnpike, we get a message. Third time's a charm, I guess. There's a picture with the bus rim tire gone. Oh, uh-oh. The bus blew actual tire. Yeah, not kidding. So I was like, oh, I feel like an idiot because I didn't believe him. I'm like, okay. So we get on the phone to Dave, and I'm like, what's going on? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, yeah, we heard a boom, boom, crunch, crunch, crunch. And my buddy's like, oh, yeah, that's definitely a tire. Drove on it for a few seconds, and then obviously the rim was gone. The bus actually blew a tire. So we're like, where are you? We'll come scoop you guys up because we're right behind you. So we pull up, and we're like, just we'll come up on a bus. So luckily, we were probably a good 5 or 10 minutes behind them time-wise. So we were a good bit behind them. So luckily, we didn't like pass them or go a different direction. Or luckily, we didn't leave like right. early. We could have already been up there and waiting for them, and they would have blown the tire. Mind you, this is an hour away from the stadium up the Jersey Turnpike. So they still had an hour into the trip, I think. So we see the bus. All the fans are outside. We pull up, man, and our two buddies roll, get in the car, roll in, and then we roll out. And I was like, don't I feel bad, but really not, because I'm like, I picked these two guys up and then just leave everybody stranded. And we're like waving, like, bye-bye. And we're all high-fiving, like, oh, man, you're a lifesaver. And I'm like, crazy situation, right? I'm like, and I told him, I said, I didn't believe a lick you said. I was like, I thought you were lying. So I said, I'm sorry. So luckily, everything okay. The bus didn't flip or anything. Everybody seemed fine. So we're all like talking the whole way up, like, how are they going to get there? Like, what are they going to do? We get to Jimmy's, good time. We get to the tailgate spot, destination tailgate. It was at Red's Restaurant, literally right across the street from the stadium. Very hospitable. I want to give a shout out to Red's Restaurant for partnering with Jimmy's on that. They did a master job there, and their staff were gracious to us, you know, coming in from out of state and enjoying the game. So we're tailgating, and one of my buddies recognized one of the guys from the bus that blew the tire. So we were talking to him and was like, hey, how did you get here? He called an Uber an hour away. I was like, I can only imagine how expensive that was.
Yeah.
So, and apparently they ordered another bus, which was like a limo bus, to pick them up. So they came like an hour and a half later. So, of course, the bus arrives. The whole crew comes here.
Right.
So everybody ended up getting the tailgate. It was a great tailgate festivities. Man, the food was great. The music was flowing. You know, we were just having a ball, cornhole, the whole nine yards, mingling fans. Great. I saw some friends, you know, that are from back home that made the trip. After the game, on the way home, Jimmy sends an email. They made it right. The people that were, you know, basically on that bus that blew a tire stranded, they apologized for the inconvenience. Obviously, it's out of their control because those things happen. But because of that, they got to get to pick another tailgate on the house to go to one of the regular season games. So they made it better by saying, like, hey, we're going to go give you another tailgate on us. So Jimmy's does it right, makes it right. So, I mean, it's a scary situation. It can happen to anybody. When you're traveling on the road, there's kind of mishaps happen. I mean, I've traveled to work many times on blue tires on the way to work. I had the worst luck with that, so I'm glad it wasn't me. I mean, it sucks for the boss and sucks for them, but I'm glad that the fans made it and, you know, everything was made right. I was glad they were able to make the game. Everybody was safe, first and foremost. But crazy story, right?
Yeah.
So, but to tie it all together, one of my buddies who was stranded on the bus that we scooped up, he enters the 50-50 raffle at Jimmy's right before they take the tickets. He wins the 50-50 raffle.
Oh, nice.
His whole trip's paid for. So I'm like, and lo and behold, I don't know if he played it in the stadium, but the stadium raffle for 50-50 was like 70 grand. And I'm like, you got to play it. You got to play it. But he didn't win that one. But he won the Jimmy's, which is a good chunk of change. So I won't release the amount. But, you know, but it was all in all, those prior festivities, it was crazy because all that action happened before the ball was snapped. And then we had week one, had to get in there, 9/11, emotional. It was a crazy morning. And, you know, being there for that was awesome because seeing the reactions to the a cappella singing of the anthem, I was next to – and what was special about this, Brandon, is one of my best friends, Chris. His squadron is usually picked to do the flyovers for the Ravens. He's done two of them. He's actually doing one for the Dolphins game this coming Sunday. They got the all clear. And to sit there, sit next to him at the stadium, to take that all in on 9/11 and the anthem and the salute to that, you know, as we were talking about that, you know, on the way up and experiencing that and to, you know, have the singer cut out in the beginning and let the fans sing it in unison and then, you know, tying it all together with the big flag on the field. Surreal to be there. It was an honor to be there. It was a privilege to be there. And then to hear the reactions of other people sharing the video online and saying like, oh, isn't this special? And then to respond to them by saying like, I was one of the blessed ones to be there that day amongst, you know, the ones in attendance singing along. And you know, people were singing along at home, great. But just to be there in that experience, and yeah, it just was amazing, dude. It was certainly amazing. And I'm glad I didn't, you know, do the disservice of videoing it, because I kind of wanted to. But again, I wanted to be in the moment, take it in, which I'm happy because now I actually got to watch the video of it from other, you know, the national networks covered it. I think apparently CBS showed it.
Yeah.
It was great. They didn't do a flyover. You know, I mean, hey, it is what it is. I thought they were going to be doing more for 9/11, especially being right across the river. It was surreal being that close to the site of that tragedy all those years ago. When that special day, that was the first time it's happened to me, that being that close. It was special to be there. The fans were great. And then of course, when the Ravens kicked off, the action started off a little slow, but we had some football to be played and Ravens took care of business. I was so close to the score. It was 24-3. And I'm like, okay, the Jets score a touchdown, the Ravens kick a field goal. My prediction of 27-10 was right. Yeah. So I'm close. But, overall, it's a Ravens dub. We took the dub back home, and the Ravens are starting 1-0, heading into the home opener, man. First win of hopefully many this year.
That's right.
But that's my experience of the game, and the game was great. Long story short of it, we sat 40 rows back under the overhang. We didn't get wet the whole time. It was perfect. Nice. We were low level. I'm sure you saw the picture. I got down on the railing on the lower level to see Joe Flacco warm up, which was pretty cool to see him in 19. I got the great action shot of him throwing warm-ups, which was awesome. The Ravens, actually, I missed them warming up. They were on the other side of the field, but we were actually in the lower bowl, kind of on the Ravens sideline. The Ravens sideline was, like, directly in front of me. So, like, we were on the right side. There were some Ravens fans sprinkled among us, and it was a pretty fun day. I've been in that stadium. It was my third time. My buddy's never been there. They've seen it but never been in there. So it was a fun experience overall. Let's break it all down, man. Ravens went 24-9 against the New York Jets, took care of business. Old friend Flacco across the way under center for the green and white started out pretty decent. I mean, hey, Joe Flacco, 300 yards passing, man. I mean, pretty okay considering the day. But he made that lone mistake. The Ravens, didn't turn the ball over other than that one lone interception with Lamar. And I feel like that was garbage time. Shouldn't happen, but it is what it is. It's a tick. It's a stat. But it was what it is, but Joe made that first mistake. Ravens cashed in early. Ravens took the lead from the get-go. 3-0, never looked back, wire-to-wire win. It wasn't your 59-10 win in 2019 against the Dolphins all these years ago in 2019, but, you know, doesn't have to be a pretty or an ugly win. Win's a win. There's no style points for wins. You don't get an extra oomph on the win column for, hey, we beat a team by 40 versus 5. I mean, look, Alabama barely squeaked by on Saturday, but it's a win in their column. You know, they didn't have to beat Texas by 40 points to make it a win. They won by, what, 1 or 2 points? I think they won by 1 point, if I remember. That game was nuts. All great day for football around weekend. Appalachian State, Ravens, the NFL in general. We'll not only with the Ravens, but we'll break down the NFL in general. There were some crazy week one games, man. Like, surprises, some interesting stuff happened. We'll cover, obviously, the first of the three quarterbacks going against their old teams. Obviously, Flacco for one. But, you know, for the Ravens, for what it was, you know what? I was okay with the performance. I mean, it was a win. You know, three tutties by Lamar, which was great. I thought he looked decent out there, man. I mean, a little rusty, obviously, you know, being that he hasn't played since mid last year. And this is why I feel like they should still play preseason games in some capacity. I know you want to put these guys in bubble wrap, but, you know, Mahomes played preseason, man. Not that Mahomes needs it, but he threw 5 touchdowns against Arizona. Lamar, again, 3, nothing, no slouch. He's tied for 2nd AFC right now with 3 touchdowns. Passes with Mahomes – or not Mahomes, with Herbert and Josh Allen. I thought it was an okay game. I mean, I didn't – the beginning of the game, I felt like the Ravens game was in jeopardy a little bit because they were just – you know, no one was scoring. The Jets could run the ball, the Ravens couldn't. The Ravens weren't finding themselves with a rhythm offensively. And I was like, dude, this screams a 7-3 Jets lead in the third quarter, something stupid. And we're going to have to be scratching and clawing barely to win. But, you know, the second half, Ravens opened it up. And you got to felt pretty good for what you saw, especially some names stepping up, you know, for one Duvernay. But let's break it all down, man. What'd you see? Because, again, me being there live, I didn't get the TV perspective. What was your perspective being, obviously you got to watch it in your reactions to, you know, how the Ravens, because obviously I was there. What was your reactions overall with the game and the flow?
Overall, I was happy. I was happy with the game. Like you said, the national anthem and then having the entire stadium kind of singing it along. I was very powerful to see, just being so close to New York and knowing what happened on 9/11 so long ago, 21 years ago. I still can't believe it's been that long. So it was very powerful to see that. I'll say I think that the team started off incredibly slow. Like after the first quarter, I was like, uh-oh, is this the new Ravens that everyone's been talking about? Because this was not an impressive looking team. However, games are 60 minutes, and luckily the Ravens stayed on. They got stronger as the game went on. I think they did have to work off some rust. I asked you last week, do you think Lamar or anyone else that didn't play in the preseason is going to have to knock off some rust? I think this week kind of proved, yeah, they definitely did. I almost want to say this was the regular preseason game, and our real week one is this week coming up against the Dolphins, who defeated the Patriots this past week. So I think that the rust was there. I think it was a slow start, but overall I think the team performed really well. There are some down spots, like the running game. I think the running game is a little bit to be concerned about moving forward. If we can get J.K. Dobbins back and fully healthy sooner rather than later, I think that would be very, very helpful for this team. And there are some injuries we always already have to worry about, but overall, I think Lamar performed really well. He showed off his arm a little bit. And I think the defense won the game. I think this could have been a lot closer if the defense didn't hold up at the beginning of the game and let the offense kind of get into the rhythm as the game went on. So, you know, that clock started. The NFL season started. The Ravens defense was there, and they were playing really, really well. The offense needed a little bit more time to get together and get going. But overall, I think that this is a team that that looks good, feels good. But we're still missing so many pieces. You know, we didn't have Ronnie Stanley, J.K. Dobbins, Nick Boyle, Marcus Peters. All those names were not on the field. And hopefully we'll get them back. Only time will tell.
Which is disappointing, man, because we were actually talking about that and the shadow of 2021 lingers still. Very disappointing. And we touched on last week. You know, we don't have JK and Gus out there right now. Believe it or not, JK was featured. His show is actually Jimmy's this week on the Purple Playbook. This dawned on me and I was floored. I mean, obviously I was there in 2020 when they had the few thousand fans for the Steelers game. You know, and I don't really count that crowd because we were spread out. You can't really count 5,000 fans as a crowd. So I discount that, still saying no fans because J.K. performed. But J.K. admitted to this and alluded to this. J.K. Dobbins hasn't played in front of a full stadium yet in his career, which is insane because, you remember, he was drafted in 2020. His first year was a COVID year, which there was empty stadiums. They allow 5,000 fans for the Steelers game. But, again, I discount that at all. And then he got hurt last year before the season started. He hasn't played in front of a home crowd. So imagine him coming out and playing in front of the home crowd on Sunday. What a rocking M&T Bank on a home opener. Someone said in Twitter, you can see it on his face. Like he wants that. He wants to be there. So I'm hoping we'll monitor that through the week. You know, and we'll keep a pulse on that from the socials. But I'm hoping JK can get out there. I mean, he was a game time decision at that. When we got the updates in the morning, you know, obviously I have him with some of my fantasy squads. You get the updates for all these injured players, Ravens included. He was a no-go, and I thought Marcus Peters was going to be a go because right before that came out that he was inactive in the inactives list, he was shown in a video running up and down the stands in the stadium. I'm like, all right, he's warming up like Rocky's running up the stairs. Like, we're going to have MP back. Then he's inactive. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. He was just running up the stairs. Like, what do you mean he's inactive? Maybe he was trying to see if he can get it to go. So, not to give away with the previews, but for the sake of Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill coming into town on Sunday, we better have Marcus Peters out there in the secondary because now we're down Kyle Fuller. So, gruesome injury. Unfortunately, I didn't see it. I was in the line right at the end of the game to go to the restroom, and I get text messages from people because they weren't showing it on TV because it was that bad. And they're like, hey, you're there live. Are they showing the replay in the stadium or what happened? And I'm like, heck if I know. I was actually in the line for the restroom. I'm sorry I missed it. So apparently I did see the eventual replay. It was a gruesome injury, and it sucks that Kyle had to go down for a I think it was Achilles, if I remember the diagnosis. Was it Achilles? Wasn't ACL.
I think it was ACL.
You might say ACL, Achilles. Dude, I had so many injuries with my fantasy teams this weekend. I don't even know what – I know some people got hurt, and I don't even know what it was, ailments. But forgive me if I got the A wrong, but ACL, Achilles, all the same. still out for the year, which is unfortunate for the Ravens. And then they lost Juwan James at the game. So, you know, they're down two, so the injury bug's still biting the Ravens. Still, you know, it doesn't have to be high-profile players and these names to be impactful. I mean, they made the final 53 roster. They're important to the Ravens' success. And, you know, they beat out some others for the job. So it's hard to see James and Fuller go down. So we wish them all the best in their recovery. But we can certainly – we need to fill the reins quickly. But we hope, JK, but that's what I want to touch about, because in my notes that was disappointing, where I kept saying that. The Jets had a running game. Ravens didn't. And I'm like, if the Ravens can't run the pass and running's their forte, they're going to be dead in the water on this game. And, you know, Michael Carter and Breece Hall were running the ball. Michael Carter looked really solid for the Jets, and they couldn't stop him. They were gashing him in the running game. And dude, Kenyon Drake looked slow. You know, Mike Davis had the good run, but then fumbled it at the end. Luckily, the Ravens got it back. But, you know, he had a great run there. And Justice Hill was non-existent. Lamar had a great scamper for first down, which was phenomenal in third and eight. But I don't feel confident with this bunch right now heading into week two running the ball. It even makes me leery wanting to pick the Ravens on Sunday. You might be saying, Josh, oh, my God, really? I'm like, Ravens can't be one-dimensional. You gotta run the football, run the pass, or you gotta either pass the run or run the set the pass. And right now, with no running game, they need JK quickly, and they need to get the pass week four quickly so they can get Gus back. So not speed up time, but we need these guys on the field, man. We need Peters and Gus and JK back quickly for the success of this team going forward. It's vital, vital.
Yeah, it is vital. It is. And we got a big test coming up, week two. You know, it's up against the Miami Dolphins. We've got Tua Tagovailoa coming to town, and he's got something to prove this year, prove that he's still worth quarterback in Miami. And we got beat up last year. Remember that Thursday night game? It was in Miami. It was Baltimore versus Miami, and the Ravens got demolished by the Dolphins. So there's a lot to prove in this game. This is a huge test coming up. If the Ravens are 1-1 after this week, you know, there's going to be a lot of fans out there, as they normally do, that will be hitting the panic button, and they'll be worried about what's going on.
But it also makes me think, too, with the scheme of the Dolphins game coming up, was it Brian Flores' staff? Because remember, they have a whole new coaching staff this time around. They have Mike McDonald. So, you know, is it credit to Brian Flores and him getting the coaches, or was it solely on that defensive coordinator to queue up the scheme against Lamar? So you're right. Revenge, still the same team less than a year later. You know, obviously with different personnel, they added Tyreek Hill, and the running game looks way different. But defensively, I mean, I don't follow the Dolphins to a T to know that how many starters kept from last year defensively and if their D coordinators changed. So I really might have to look into that and put that out there, but I don't really know. But that, you're right, that, you know, fans certainly want to depend on him, because remember the Dolphins last year, they clamped down Lamar and they suffocated. We couldn't do nothing. But, you know, on the flip side, if you look at the performance of the against the Jets, I was really pleased with the pass rush. They were in Flacco's wheelhouse.
That was amazing
all day. That was. And look, I don't care. Everybody's complaining about, well, of course he didn't have two starters on his own line. You know what? Okay, cool. If you want to use that, fine. I'm not going to discount it, because the Ravens still had the talent to make it work. I mean, you still had to get there, you know. I mean, it is what it is. But it also is good to go against backups. But, you know, it's one and the same. You can play both sides. But I'm still going to go on the side of this. Look, the Ravens had the talent, and they used it to their full advantage. And, you know, it's still NFL players at the end of the day. And I loved it. I loved the way that Matt Abuke was forcing pressure. You know, Justin Houston was getting involved. It seemed like I thought the Ravens actually logged more sacks than they did. Like, I looked, I'm like, oh, Flacco got sacked like seven times. I'm like, it was like half that. It was like three and a half. And I'm like, what? But yeah, obviously I had pressures and all that, because he was pounded. Like, there was one where I thought he got hit. And I'm like, he might not get up. Like, there was one in Orange Stadium. I'm like, I don't want to see him hurt, but I'm like, man, the Ravens are getting in. Like, it was like, I was loving it, because I was like, there was one where he got sandwiched with Matt Abuke, and I'm like, you all right, Joe? Like, you all right? Remember these defense you used to practice against? I mean, it's not the same players, but remember that? Like, it was awesome to see in the defensive pressure. And then how about Marcus Williams getting into the party with his first interception, you know, making a huge impact and splash right away, being the addition new to the Ravens. And, you know, it was awesome. And it was awesome to see defensively that they adjusted. You know, I feel like a lot of the pass yards were at the end of the game. I felt like the Ravens had kind of let up a little bit, even though the score dictated. I mean, it was like 3 minutes left. They were winning 24-3. Jets were no threat to even win the game. They got a garbage time touchdown late, but then missed the 2-point. Obviously, 24-9 was the bill. It was 24-3 at the 2-minute warning. So, I mean, Ravens had the game in hand. Pretty much.
Were you a little surprised that after this preseason, I know preseason is not the regular season, however, there were two names that dominated the Ravens preseason, and that was Isaiah Likely and Kyle Hamilton. Were you surprised at all that those two names were kind of quiet in this first game against the Jets?
Yes and no. More so surprised about Hamilton, not about Likely. Mm-hmm. Only because Lamar, that's the first time Lamar had him on his offense.
Right.
Lamar wasn't working with Likely. Remember, the backups work with Likely. Lamar wasn't throwing these balls to Likely in the preseason. Kyle Hamilton is on his own. He played. He played in the same scheme. Granted, it's not with his full starting squad, but also Kyle Hamilton is a rookie also with that. But Hamilton recovered. He made a great tackle. I can't remember what quarter it was, but it was kind of funny because there was video of it, and he kind of was like trying to high five his friend, his teammates, and they left him hanging. But he made a great stop. So I mean, Kyle Hamilton's going to come to his own, but you know, I have to go back and look, and I've recorded the game, and I always record the games that I go to really see and go back and kind of quote unquote watch film to see if I missed anything. So I don't, being at the game and obviously I only get to see one play live and that's it. Like there's no replay for me unless they shut the stadium. I can't go back and, you know, when I'm recording the games, I go back and watch the same play over again and replay it. I don't know how many times Kyle Hamilton was targeted, but I didn't feel like it was a liability.
Right.
I mean, there was a couple of times where Isaiah Likely was wide open. You can see him like throw his arms up, like not to say Lamar like keyed in on one guy. But there was a time where, like, Lamar didn't read his progressions probably. I mean, it could have been the way the play was developed. Like, oh, it's going to go to this guy, and if it's your first read, he's open, throw it to him, right? But there was times where Isaiah Likely and Bateman were open, and you could see him, like, their hands up, and then he throws it like Mark Andrews in, like, double coverage, and you're like, Likely's right there. But it's easy for us when we're sitting right behind the offense, and I can see what's going on, right? But to see the play develop. But that's my spin on it is Likely wasn't playing with Lamar in the preseason. So he's going to have to get used to that chemistry and playing with Lamar, as the starting offense, but it's good to see Likely out there. You know, he'll get some looks his way. I mean, there's going to be a time where Mark Andrews is going to be, you know, keyed on defensively and it's going to leave Likely wide open.
Yeah.
And every mouth's going to get fed. It's just a matter of time. But I tell you what, Duvernay exploded out of nowhere. The first touchdown was right in our corner, right in front of us. He came right. I saw the ball, pretty ball. Apparently, the stats were outrageous in catching. I think he had, like, less than a 1% chance to catch that or some way, like, how the window was. I got a zoom in of the screenshot on somebody's television. The catch was insane. She actually tweeted, Sarah Ellison covers the Ravens a little bit. Goalpost move once again for Lamar after his three touchdown day, including a 55-yard bomb. Well, yeah, but they were wide open, some say, but ignoring that Devin Duvernay had 0.1 yards of separation, the smallest separation on touchdown pants over the last four seasons per next-gen stats. So on that touchdown, small sliver of space, and Lamar put it right there. Duvernay adjusted it. I was impressed with Duvernay. Not only one, but he caught two tutties, but he was high-pointing the ball. I've always said our receivers need to go up and grab it, and he was doing that. Bateman had a few drops, albeit it was a sloppy game, wet. You know, the ball was wet. It's first game action for these guys. Lamar didn't have Bateman action last year because, remember, Bateman came back, what, week six or seven? Last year, then Lamar exited last right. year. They came for their season. So these guys, it's good to see that they connected on that long pass early on. And you're going to see Bateman and Lamar get comfortable. So especially with Likely and the rest of the game, I feel like the only rapport that Lamar has is with Andrews. You know, Duvernay, he has a little bit of rapport, but I just feel like everybody just needs to come in. And Lamar alluded to it. The offense needs to get finer groove. They're rusty, but hey, if they can rusty and score 24-9 over the Jets and they come into their own, they can start it. But overall, I thought, you know, the one Lamar pick, call it what it is. Yeah, he threw it. It was an interception, but it was an underthrown ball to Marcus Robinson on the sidelines. Ravens are trying to stretch the field. They were buried deep in their own territory. It was more like a punt, if you can call it that, you know. If you really want to look at it that way. So don't really – I'm not going to get too discouraged because overall, Lamar took care of the football. The 3rd-and-8 scamper, as you saw my social media tweet about it, the Jets fan behind me was like, got him. I'm like, nope. And then Lamar just jukes and dies his way as he usually does with a dazzling effect for the first down. And I'm like, Joe can't do that. This is the X factor. But just happy to see Lamar only ran it 17 yards, which is great. There was times where, yeah, maybe he could have ran it, but didn't. But I thought overall with Lamar's efficiency, fine. You know, it's his first game in a little over a year. Calendar year, it's less than a year, but you figure like he hasn't played since mid last year. You know, all we see is he got bulkier and he threw balls in training camp and it's it in practice. So for his first game and had three touchdowns, especially that long accurate, that long bomb, man, was pretty. Like it was just, saw, and that play was away from us to the scene. And when I saw Bateman break, we both stood up, me and my buddy Chris, and we stood pointed right at him. I'm like, hit him. He threw that ball. Boom, game over. And at that point, I knew the Ravens had it in the bag, and that was a dagger. But a three-touchdown performance to Lamar, and overall, I was very pleased with that, man. He came right out, showed you why he's going to get paid the big bucks. It's coming for him. We know, obviously, you know, we knew the contract talk stopped. But one thing I want to touch on is going back early in the game. Very frustrated. I want to hear your thoughts too, man. Harbaugh, you line up on fourth and one. You get out there trying to draw offsides. You waste the timeout to punt it. First off, my beef is, where's the fire? Where's the Lamar? You want to go for it? Where's the confidence in having Lamar rush it, get the first down, keep the clock going, manage the game, hold the ball? First off, if you're going to punt it, know that. Try to draw them offsides, okay, and try to get the cheap first down. Take the 5 yards of punting. You call a timeout to waste it. Yeah, this isn't Ravens Steelers, Ravens Chiefs, Ravens Bills, where it's probably going to come down the wire. I mean, this game, you know, it was early on, probably wasn't going to come down the wire, which I'm glad it didn't, but don't waste timeouts. I get sick and tired of that when, like, why are you going to call a timeout to save 5 yards? It's 5 freaking yards. Punt the ball. Like, especially when you're at midfield. So those kind of things irritated me with Harbaugh already with clock management. And like, you know, fourth and one at nearly midfield, go for it. If you're gonna send your team out there, I just felt like it's embarrassing. You have Lamar Jackson on your team, and you're gonna go out there and try to draw them off sides, dude. This isn't a pedestrian quarterback we're talking about. Like in offense, go get it. You've done it before. Fourth and one, go get it. I just feel like it's just petty to me. You just waste the time out for doing something like that. So to me, that was already a negative tick mark on Harbaugh. Obviously, Harbaugh's still a great ball coach, but come on, man, got to be better at that. You're a veteran. You've been in the league. You've been with us 13 years now, 14 and 15, 16. I can't remember. It's been a long time. 2008, be exact. But I just felt like that was a rookie mistake on Harbaugh's part. He's still making his blunders, and it's got to stop. Got to be better.
That was the first thing I thought when they used that timeout so quickly in the game. I was like, we got a lot of game left. Why are you already burning one of those timeouts? Come on. What are you thinking?
The save fight, like, really? I mean, it's a knee-jerk reaction, but stop. Yeah. Like, I mean, just stop. And hopefully that don't hurt us again. But I want to go back to this because I'm still going to live and die by what happened last year when we had the whole debate, go for it on the 2-point conversions and all that. Remember, the Giants actually did that on Sunday and won against Titans, which was one of the surprise wins of the weekend. They went for it. They weren't scared. You know, go for it, man. It's plays like that. Giants don't get it against the Titans. Brian Daboll looks like an idiot because he's a rookie head coach. Oh, man, way too ultra-aggressive, but they get it. Looks like a hero. That's why I said you can criticize all you want, but at the end of the day, it's the right thing to do. So, yeah, I might criticize, and I'm definitely going to criticize Harbaugh when he makes his blunders, you know, because I can, and it's warranted. But at the end of the day, I still appreciate the aggressiveness, and I miss that aggressive nature. Go for it, man. Fourth and one, line up, let Lamar run it. Give it to freaking Patrick Carr, for goodness sake. Let him do a fullback dive. Like, it's 1 yard. You're going to go out there and punt it? That just was more conservative, especially against the Jets on opening day. Go out there and step on their throats and go out 7-0. Go win the ball. I just felt like they were really being shy, and that wasn't characteristic of the Ravens football that we know. So I just was a little puzzled by that, but gladly it didn't blow up and didn't hurt the Ravens in any form or fashion. But overall, it was the Jets. It was good. It was good to get the first game out of the way, and Lamar throwing 3 touchdowns, man, look crisp. You know, I have no issues, and if he keeps playing like that, we're going to have a solid year for him all around. So, but, you know, onward to the Dolphins, they got a task, man. Like I said, if Marcus Peters can get healthy, we've seen Tyreek Hill before, man. You know, we've seen Jalen Waddle last year. These guys are no joke. And Jalen Waddle caught a touchdown on Sunday, even though Tyreek didn't get the end zone, he was still impactful, had nearly 100 yards receiving. It's going to be a dynamic duo to stop for sure, and that's going to be the bread and butter, because I don't feel like Chase Edmonds in a form of their running game is going to hurt the Ravens. It's all going to be passing, and if we can keep Tua and those two receivers tied down, Ravens can have success on Sunday, man, and you got to hope. I'm not saying the Ravens' success hinges on if Peters and Dobbins are healthy, but right now the running game is concerned and the secondary is concerned. So what was, we thought, the best secondary in football still is, but overall we need to get healthier. We need to get Peters back quickly. So I'm hoping these guys can play. Stanley thought was a good shot to play, didn't. So again, if we can get Stanley out there, we can get Peters out there and JK out there, we're going to feel a lot better, right? So, you know, I'm excited, man. It's going to be good for us on the home opener. Get it cranking. And the chance to go 2-0. Dolphins are 1-1, 1-0, and so are we. So it's going to be a chance to get another AFC win, establish dominance early right out of the gate. Because that obviously, you know, with the Steelers and the Browns winning on Sunday, you know, there's three teams right now tied, and we need to keep pace with everybody. So even though it's early on, it's one game, everyone counts, man. They count towards the final tally. So overall, you can't really be too pleased, but or too down, but then you also can't be over pleased. I thought it was just, hey, it was the Ravens. They did what they did best. They took care of the football when they needed to. Didn't make any crazy dumb mistakes. There were some holding penalties and some penalties that they can get under control, but I never thought that they were undisciplined or, hey, you can't do that. I mean, there were some calls. I mean, you always want the penalties to be minimum. You know, to play a whole game and no penalties is unheard of typically, but I didn't recall at any point in the game, unless you did, that there was a penalty where like it was a drive killer or took a score off the board. Like, no, you did what? Or gave the Jets an opportunity to score. It was more like, man, holding that sucks. Legal. And I think there was one. I think that they stopped the Jets on third down, and then there was it was legal contact. And I forget who was on, somebody in secondary, and it was automatic first down. I'm like, that's the one I can recall that was like, look, the Jets punt, get the ball back. And I think the Jets ended punting plays later, but still, you know, you don't want to keep the drives alive with some stupid penalties like that. So you got to keep that under minimum. But, you know, it's week one, everybody's rusty, including the head coaching staff. So, you know, there's no excuses, but no, it didn't really hurt the Ravens in any fashion. So let's get it going. But speaking of Harbaugh and schemes, you alluded to earlier, right, about the whole Dolphins zero coverage with the Ravens on Thursday night last year, which was crazy.
Right.
Harbaugh is quoted saying, we have a plan for it. I hope it works because these guys are the best in the league at it. They have all the respect and world for that they're doing defensively. So, and that's for the Dolphins on Miami zero coverage comments. So, let's see it, coach. Let's see it, man. You know, coach them up. You know, scheme them up, man. I'm looking to see forward with what our McDonald does against the Dolphins' McDonald's. Obviously, our defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, and then also the Dolphins' head coach, Mike McDonald. So, the battle of the McDonald's, who's going to win?
Do we get McNuggets either way since there's two McDonald's?
If their field goal kicker misses a field goal, Ravens, we get free nuggets. I actually forgot mine on the preseason game against the Commanders when we had the free nuggets. I think it was the free nuggets on that game one of the games against Titans or them. And then I didn't pick up my free nuggets. So I sucks. I didn't get missed out on that, but I'm looking forward to it. I think the Ravens can certainly handle the Dolphins. It's just a matter of who's going to be healthy and the Peters can get out there. I think.
Do you think the offensive line has improved since last year? Because they got to Lamar a lot last year. I know you said new coaches and everything like that, but that offensive line kind of left Lamar out to dry last year. Has the Ravens' offensive line improved enough that that won't happen again?
Well, I think from last year to this year, it's improved. Now, I don't know the vastness of that. I think Linderbaum was an upgrade, especially when we got in the draft. We definitely need Stanley out there.
Because that left tackle spot is kind of shallow right now with the recent injury in week one as well. You've got,
and that's the problem with Juwan James going. So
yeah,
I mean, for sure, it's a concern when, you know, it's a concern when a player goes down and then you have to rely on a shuffling of the line to that, but we definitely need Stanley back. But for the sample size that I got on Sunday, I didn't feel like Lamar was running for his life and getting crazy pressure, albeit, you know, compared to last year. So let's see what happens, you know, going forward. But, you know, I certainly can I certainly can see the Ravens really getting after a better protection scheme for Lamar and the running game. They got a pass block better and got a run block better, but easier said than done. But I think, you know, the Ravens can certainly make the step of going forward with next man up mentality, and we'll see what happens on Sunday. But, you know, I think the Ravens can certainly win this game. I think it's going to be close. Here's the thing. If this was in Miami, it's a loss. If it's at home, it's a win. I give the Ravens a 3-point victory. I think it's going to be a close game. I think the Ravens squeak this one out. I'm going to say a close one, man. I'm going to say 27-24.
That is close.
I think it's close. We're going to get it by a Tucker field goal. I think the Ravens do just enough in the home crowd to get it cooking. Again, we don't know if some of the starters are going to return for us, so that's going to change some schemes. I'm not saying it's going to change my prediction or where we go whatsoever, but I just feel like you can flip a coin, man. I mean, the Dolphins are no slouch right now. Some pundits were picking them to make the playoffs this year as a wild card, obviously with the Bills winning their division respectively. So they handled the Patriots last Sunday, but obviously that was with the banged up Mac Jones with some back spasms. So take it for what it's worth. But they still beat them 20-7. We beat their division foe 24-9. We meet for the second of four contests in a row against the AFC East. Away, home. And, you know, hopefully the Ravens get to our business because, you know, you got to keep pace with everybody. But you can't worry about what everybody else is doing, right? God only can take care of what you can take care of in business in front of you. Feel like the Ravens get it done, but it's going to be a close game overall. It's going to probably be back and forth. The Waddle and Hill duo is going to be a handful. But again, Ravens think they do just enough to squeak by with a 2-0 record after Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, so real quick, just so you know, if Ronnie Stanley is not ready for this Sunday, more than likely it'll be Patrick McCary taking his spot, and backing up him would be rookie Daniel Falele. So that is an important role for a rookie to step into. So let's hope we can get Ronnie Stanley back and McCary can kind of step in if Stanley were to go down again. But it's at a very important position. You know, you got to make sure that Lamar's got time and that he's able to get plays and let plays develop. So there's two important spots right now, that tackle position and then that cornerback position already is looking a little light, and we're only in week two. So I think the Ravens can get away with a win here. I think it is the home opener. It's in Baltimore. That's definitely going to play a factor as well. You fans that are going to be there, you better be loud, better be going nuts as the Ravens are on the field, making life very hard for the Miami Dolphins. That Thursday game last year, remember, was in Miami, so that the Ravens also had that working against them as well. The weather should be amazing, beautiful weather. It's going to feel like football weather, bright, sunny skies, so that should be good as well. I think the Ravens can come away with a win. I do think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a little lower scoring than you said, so I'm going to say 21-17. The Ravens win.
I can see it. So we're both predicting a win. By the way, where did you watch the game last Sunday? I know you always pick some destinations. Where was your destination on Sunday for this one?
Yeah, I was in Ocean City this past weekend.
Ocean, hon.
I was down the ocean.
We spell ocean, O-S-H-I-N, in Baltimore.
That's
ocean.
Right.
Ocean.
Down the ocean. So, ocean. I went to the Crab Bag, which is not too far away from my beach place. I love that place. That's my go-to when I'm there for a Ravens game. It is like a shoulder season of summer, so the prices there are still a little bit higher than I like. So I did not get to do the all-you-can-eat crabs like I normally would for a Ravens game because they were $70 a person. So, yeah, that was a bit much for my taste, but hopefully later on down the road, maybe closer to Thanksgiving or something, I can enjoy some all-you-can-eat crabs while watching the Ravens. But still, it was a great time.
You get crabs for Christmas, you won't have to worry about paying for them, get them for free.
That's right. They had at the Crab Bag an Old Bay Crush. And I got to say, kind of weird.
I'm sober, but I'm curious. What's in it?
It's the Old Bay vodka. It is lemon
juice.
What's
that taste like?
It tastes like Old Bay. Like, it legit tastes
liquid
like Old Bay. Yeah.
And it's not. I mean, I'm a Mariner. I love Old Bay.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we feel like a Mariner snort this stuff because it's how much we love it. But
they're coming out with a caramel. Did
like,
you
is
see
it
that?
Sour? Is it tangy? Is it like strong?
It literally, the drink literally tasted like you were biting into a lemon that was covered in Old Bay. That was it. It was tart.
Wow.
And it had that sting of Old Bay. And the lady was like, look, you're not going to like it. Don't get it. Get an Orange Crush if you want a crush. And I'm like, I got to try it. It's an Old Bay crush. I have to try it. And after I had a couple sips, she was like, what'd you think? And I'm like, it's okay, but I wouldn't order them all game. And she goes, I told you so. I don't know why men don't listen to women. Like, she was yelling at me.
So it's on the menu, so it sounds like it's an unpopular item if the employees are like, don't get that.
Yeah, the employee was like, don't do that. You don't want that.
It sounds like a lot of customers have a hard time with that. They get it thinking they can show their Maryland pride, and they drink it, and they're like, what is this? It's like bathwater.
I had to try it. But yeah, it's definitely not something I would get all the time. But like,
now, if they come out with Old Bay coffee, sign me up.
I mean, they are putting out Old Bay caramel this fall.
I mean, the Old Bay wing sauce is fantastic, so yeah. I can drink that stuff straight up. Like, that stuff is liquid gold.
We had Old Bay wings before the wing sauce. You know, it used to just be like a dry rub. You know, that's old news.
But I like my wings wet. I don't like a dry wing. I like them in sauce. I don't like...
Well, just put some ranch on top of the dry rub, and you're good. You're good.
Then I'll eat them dry, man. I'll eat them dry things.
People at home right now are like, would you guys shut up about the wings?
Was it Patrick Queen? Yeah, exactly. With Patrick Queen, I think he's team blue cheese.
He's a blue cheese
Marlon
guy.
I think Marlon was too. I can't remember.
Yeah, so it's me.
Marlon
hates
mac and cheese. Remember that whole vendetta with Marlon and mac and cheese? Like, he's like, it's just cheese and noodles. Understand the infatuation. Like, he's like, he said, and I was like, this was last Thanksgiving, remember? And it was like, it's the go-to dish. Like, my cousin makes this banging mac and cheese for vacation every year, and I'm like, trust me, there are certain dishes of mac and cheese that are like in a casserole dish with like the crust on it. Like, mac and cheese isn't just sauce and noodles. It's amazing if you prepare it right.
If you are ever in Ocean City, you kind of can see it here. Go to Annabelle's and get their mac and cheese. This stuff is amazing, and the lights kind of making it hard to see.
Speaking of Annabelle's, I heard the fortunate news that Annabelle Lee's in downtown Baltimore of Edgar Allan Poe fame is being sold.
I saw that. Yeah,
that's unfortunate, man.
They're doing one more wake for Edgar Allan Poe,
October.
And that's it. Yeah. So
you might have to attend the last week.
We definitely have to go. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
We have not. I wanted to get something off my chest. I want to hear your perspective.
I'm going to sit back.
You're like, let's listen to this. I'm a little, and you've probably seen some of my posts. I'm a little frustrated with the fan base because I feel like no matter what happens, the goalposts get moved. Again, if you're a Ravens fan, I feel like you can still be critical of the team, call them out. You can break it down. You don't have to support everything, but not saying you need to drink a purple Kool-Aid and have the purple goggles and think everything's fine. Like, okay. Lamar threw 3 touchdowns. Oh my God, we're going to Super Bowl. Like, no, not like that. But I just feel like again, the same excuses. You know, Lamar comes out and throws 5 touchdowns. That's a perfect passer rating in 2019. And people at that time were saying, it's just the Dolphins. You remember hearing that, right? And for what it's worth, it's week one. How do you know it's just any team? It's week one. Like, they haven't played all games yet. You don't know. And when they use that excuse, Lamar just took the team to a 14-2 record. And, got a MVP out of it. Yeah, I know it was one seed and they didn't do anything with it, but still an MVP year. He was voted unanimous MVP along with Tom Brady, second time in history. For these fans, they said, and I was warning with people on Facebook again, if it's your opinion, great. But to me, I just feel like, and I want to hear your perspective on this too, man. That's why I'm bringing it up, because my take in my corner feels that when you say it's just a team, right? Like people are like, well, Lamar threw 3 touchdowns against the Jets, so what? I want to see him do it against the Bills. Well, then time out. Tom Brady played against the Jets twice a year for how many years? So does that mean that Tom Brady's stats don't count against the Jets? I comment on one of my friend's comments. Again, I was like, so does that mean that all of the games Michael Jordan played against inferior teams don't count because, it was just that team, it didn't really count? Like, that's how I feel about it. When you say when you criticize somebody's performance, which was actually decent, and say it was just a team or just a scrub team, then you should just call into a fact that, okay, when Patrick Mahomes does it, call him out. Oh, that didn't count because it was against a scrub team. That's how I feel. And I want to know if you agree or disagree, because I'm interested to see if I'm alone in this. Do I even make sense what I'm saying? Or I mean, I'm still going to believe what I'm going to believe, and I feel like I got a point when that's made up. But it just irritates me because it's like you don't want to recognize the greatness. It's like I'm not saying Lamar's awesome and he's great, he's elite, but you know, throwing three touchdowns is pretty good. Josh Allen threw three touchdowns on Thursday. I think Justin Herbert had three of his own against the Raiders on Sunday. There's only a handful of quarterbacks, you know, that were in that echelon, and Lamar throwing three, it's pretty impressive. Three touchdowns, I always feel like is a solid game for an NFL quarterback. If you're in the 4-5, Mahomes threw five, Carson Wentz threw four for the Commanders. I feel like if you're in that 4-5+ range, that's an elite game. When you throw three, if it's always two or one, I feel like that's it's mediocre. You're in that three touchdowns is pretty respectable for a quarterback. I feel like that's the average. What say you, man? Do you get frustrated as well as I do when you hear people say that, or is that a point like, okay, well, yeah, you're supposed to beat up on the fewer teams to make that. But again, I told somebody else, one of my best friends, you can't apologize who you play for. If people had their way, the Ravens would play the Bills and Chiefs, you know, halfway. They would play the Chiefs all first eight games and then the Bills the next seven games if they had their way to measure success. And that's my point. I feel like fans, these kind of fans only want to measure true success if it's only against the best teams. And you can't do that. That's not fair. They don't play the best teams every week. You go and play who you play and look at the schedule. Does that mean that Alabama or Ohio State aren't really good because they play 6, 7, 8 game cupcake games and then play like two or three good opponents all year and then make the college playoff? Like, I just feel like that's a lazy argument to have. Like, oh, it was just this team. Like, does that mean Peyton Manning playing against the Texans and the Jaguars four times a year, does that mean he sucked because four of his wins came off of cupcake teams in his division? Like, I just feel like that you just can't do that. I just want to get off my chest because I was really fired up because and everybody's like, where are you reading this? Look on social media, people's comments, man, and replies. You know, something, you know, someone will post Lamar stats and it was just the Jets or relax. He didn't really let the world on fire. And I'm like, where do you, I mean, again, you want to put your opinion out there, I'm going to call you out. Like, I just feel like it's a lazy argument. Like, whatever. You can't apologize who you play. You can't play the best team every week in the NFL. It's just not possible. And if that's what you want it, then simulate it on Madden all you want, but you can't do it in the real world. I digress because I'm just getting frustrated with and I might have been harsh when I called the Ravens fan base under totality losers, but I just really got fired up because I'm like, bro, enough. Like, every time. And it's Ravens fans. It's not even, like, other people. It's, like, people that I knew that root for the team calling them out, like, oh, relax, man. You beat up on the Jets. Like, take it easy. And I'm like, Ravens just won a game. Celebrate a little bit. I feel like I said, if you read the message boards and the replies, I really wouldn't have thought the Ravens won the game. I thought they would have been the Lions losing the game or the Jaguars losing another game or the Panthers have lost 8 straight dating back to last year. I'm like, guys, relax. Lamar just won his 38th football game for the Ravens. Like, guys, just – take it easy a little bit, but can't please everybody, I guess, no matter what they do, man. I just feel like the goalposts move too much and people are just too stupid critical for the success of the football team. And frankly, I've had enough. And I'm sorry, but I've had enough and I digress. What say you, bro?
I think there is a giant cloud looming over this entire season. That's called the Lamar contract. I think there's a cloud looming over this, and I also think it's clouding everybody's brains. Now, you're saying, like, oh, well, he only got three touchdowns against the Jets. So everyone's saying, now that stat is out there, well, he's not worth $250 million, guaranteed. That's why they didn't want to pay him. Anytime Lamar makes a mistake this year, it's going to be, oh, his value just went down $10 million. Or if he does really well, it's, oh, we're going to have to pay out the wazoo to keep him now because he's doing this. So I think, and I also think, like, the Lamar liking the mock-up of him in a Dolphins jersey and stuff got to a lot of people because you and I, you know, we're diehard Baltimore Ravens fans. We love whoever's wearing the purple and the black. So that's our team. That's what we love. We fly that flag outside of our homes, that Baltimore Ravens flag. It's football season. We've got purple somewhere on our house that we're showing off. You do it year-round. You've got a Ravens room. And I think a lot of people look at Lamar and him not accepting that contract and they go, well, he's not loyal to us. He's loyal to himself. And I think a lot of people are taking that personally. And Lamar's betting on himself. I'm not going to shame him or anything like that for wanting to maximize the amount of money that he can get in his football career. Football careers don't last very long. They max out. If you're not Tom Brady, max out maybe what, 10 years? Especially with, you know, the way Lamar plays, he's an explosive player. They don't get to play like Tom Brady did anymore. So I think that fans are going to be so incredibly critical. It doesn't matter who we're playing or what we're doing. If Lamar isn't 100% accurate every single time, there's going to be people going, well, we shouldn't be paying him that. We shouldn't do this. We shouldn't do that if he's expecting to get that amount of money. And if he does win, they're going to be like, well, it wasn't against a real opponent, so he still shouldn't get that money. I think people are mad that he didn't take the contract because we kind of got spoiled. You think about it. We kind of got a little spoiled with Ray Lewis. I mean, he was a Raven for life. He started his career here, drafted. He finished his career here. That doesn't happen often. You know, that's probably going to happen with Justin Tucker, potentially. So I think a lot of fans right now are taking the fact that he didn't take that money personally. I think they don't think he's all in like the fan base thinks they are. And I think that they're going to be even more critical than they were in the past. Now, let's say if he would have signed that contract and he got three touchdowns in this first game, they would have been like, well, he should have gotten six. He gets paid enough. Fans are never happy. There's so many fans out there.
Right.
And
we joked about it when Joe Flacco and all them won Super Bowl in 2012 for 4-7. It's like the Ravens could, we always joked on like Sports Talk Radio, the Ravens could have got win the Super Bowl. That was actually that night. Like, yeah, it was scary that the Ravens blew the lead, but fans were more mad that they blew the lead in almost all the game and actually, like, celebrating that they won the game. Like, yeah, it sucked, and it was really, really close, and they could have lost, but they didn't. We got the title. But people were, like, critical, like, man, what was the defensive coordinator thinking, man, letting them back in? And I'm like, dude, we just won a team Super Bowl. Like, relax. And, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you could go out with – Lamar could win the next three championships in a row, and they would still deny it. Like, be like, oh. You got to play better. Like, you're right. No matter what. And that's what my frustration is. You're just never happy. You're going to be critical, then fine. And it was a funny thing because I read a quote this week. And again, I'm not calling anybody a fool, but it's just a funny quote. It says, any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, and most fools do. That's an interesting quote because that's the thing. If you're going to be miserable, you're just going to be critical no matter what. You're going to be too prideful to admit, like, okay, yeah, he might turn the corner. Okay, he might. Like, it was – and I think that's why, you know, quietly, I was actually rooting for Joe Flacco to fail on Sunday and Lamar to succeed because I've already heard it. My boys are like the anti-Lamar people were like, you better not show your face around here. If Lamar has a better – if Flacco has a better game, Lamar, you'll never live it. And I'm like – because we're living and dying now. Instead of Ravens fans to be in unison of, like, rooting the team, now it's all, like, you have this crowd at once – Lamar to fail, and you have this fan base that wants Lamar to succeed, and you have this fan base that's arguing about the contract. Like, it just seems like there's a bunch of arguments lately, and it's I'm getting fed up. Like, I'm actually at the point where I'm just gonna ignore it. You're gonna put your opinion out there, I'm not gonna respond. Fine, I'm gonna acknowledge it, and I'm gonna let Lamar do it and let the team do it. I mean, I can't control anything else happens, but at the end of the day, I'm gonna root this team on no matter who's under center, no matter who's kicking the ball, no matter who's catching it. They're purple and black for a reason, and if you don't like it, root for another team. That's the way I look at it. Like, it's just these fans are just miserable lately, and I don't know why. It's never been like this. I don't know what's going on lately, but I'm just frustrated with it. You know, at the fan base, it's just like, you log on social media, I'm like, instead of celebrating a win in the NFL, it's like everybody's like doom and gloom all the time. I'm like, what are you all mad about? Lamar threw three touchdowns. We won a football game by double scores, and you're all mad for what? What? Like, what? The Broncos lost with Russell Wilson. Be pissed at that. Like, the Titans lost to the Giants. Like, at least we didn't lose the game. My God, could you imagine if we lost to the Jets, Brandon? Oh, my gosh, man. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I said enjoy the win. I'm not going to sit here and drink purple Kool-Aid and wear the purple glasses, but I'm going to enjoy it. My team won and won decisively. And that's what it is. It was fun to see Flacco play. It was fun to be there. But now someone to the next opponent. And hopefully they can beat Dem Stanley too. And we're going to break it down accordingly. But I don't know. I just fed up with it. And I'm not going to play this game all year. I played it week one. I'm done. I'm done engaging. I'll acknowledge you. But I'm not going to give you the light of day. You're going to get proved wrong every time Lamar goes out there and throws three or four touchdowns. And they win by 20 points. There were 15 points. I'll be like, you're going to keep looking like the fool if you keep criticizing because he's out there throwing touchdowns. So, like, he threw one touchdown at three picks. You know, Joe Burrow turned it over five times. And yeah, I know the Bengals barely lost, but didn't he make the Super Bowl last year? What was that about? Like, go criticize him. He played worse than Lamar did. And you want to say, look, Joe Burrow is a better quarterback? At this very moment, he's not, because he played like crap on Sunday and Lamar didn't. So I don't know, but tying this thing together, crazy NFL week, man, when we got done and learning that some of the status of the games, you know, what about the AFC South? All teams didn't win, and two of the teams played each other. There was a tie. Colts and Texans tied.
A tie in
Jaguars
week one.
And Titans lose. Wow. I don't know what the odds on that is, but that's pretty stinking funny to me. And it sucked, but seeing that the Bengals and Steelers locked horns in week one, they that was a crazy game with kickers and missed extra points and blocking and all this stuff going on. The Steelers kicked the field goal. The win with like 2 seconds left in overtime. They barely tied, or they avoided the tie almost. And, you know, I always felt like the Bengals, you know, everybody's like, oh, I don't want the Steelers to win because they're Steelers. You like to see them lose. But then I felt like the Bengals are the better team anyway. So it's good to see them take the L. I felt like a tie maybe should have happened. I don't know. But that sucked. And I think the surprise of the weekend was two things, you know, the Bears winning in that monsoon in Chicago, which was sloppy. Right. And Monday Night Football, man, the Broncos and Russell Wilson going back to Seattle. Seattle winning the game by 1 point, and that whole blunder at the end of the game with the rookie head coach and all that, not sending his multi-million-dollar quarterback out there on a 4th and 5.
Yeah, I don't know what you're
bro,
doing there.
That's trust issues, man. I'm saying, like, you think you criticize Ravenland? You got it. You just paid Russell Wilson. Could you imagine Ravens Nation right now being critical if the Ravens actually paid Lamar and he took the contract? Then you go out there on 4th and 5 and take the ball out of Lamar's hands. Are you kidding me?
Right.
I wouldn't even want to record a podcast. I'll be like, I'm afraid to even talk. Yeah. I'll be like, people, I'm just saying, like, put in perspective, like, there's other teams that have problems, and you're mad because Lamar didn't throw 5 touchdowns. Like, shut up. Like, man, you can't make, I'm just saying, like, oh my God, like, relax. I mean, he's not a world beater, but I'm just sick of it, man. You know, I don't know. But there were some crazy games in the NFL on Sunday. I can't wait to see what's in store for week two. And a lot of injuries in fantasy, and wow. So, yeah, pretty much been a jam-packed show, man. Week one, ready for 16 more of these.
We got lots of more to go.
We got lots more
to come, and we got to talk Ravens-Dolphins next week. So, Josh, now, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Now, we can say, quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is go over to our Discord. Go to discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Join our server over there, and you can talk to us and ask us all kinds of questions over on our Discord. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm,
Overcast.
Google Podcasts, Spotify,
Facebook, and YouTube.
All we ask in return,
I brought it home for you.
You did. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so very much for all you do. It's always fun to talk Ravens football, breaking this all down, and our love-hate relationship with wing sauce. Love it. Maybe one of these days we'll get you to try. We need to make a bet one of these days where the blue cheese and ranch debate. We need to figure this out by the end of the year on a bet here. Anyway, Ravens home opener Sunday against the Finns. We want the revenge from last year's Thursday night embarrassment. Zero coverage defense, and we know what it's all about. They got new weapons. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, old and new weapons, and it's going to be fun. Another AFC bout, and home opener is going to be electric. Let's hope some of our Ravens return from injuries out there and on the field. We would love nothing better than to see JK come out with a full stadium for the first time in his career and have the energy that he needs and get energized from the crowd and get out there and have at it. I just can't wait to see it go down. And being at the game of rooting Ravens hard. If you're down at M&T Bank, can't wait to see you down there in person. And if you're watching on the tube, can't wait for you to tune in and see another great installment of Ravens football. Let's root them hard And with that being said, week two, Baltimore Ravens, how about it? Season opener at home, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.